This is Comic Explorers, the only comic book podcast that is always hot to go. I'm one of your hosts, Chance.
It's a comics and nerd culture podcast, and I am your other host, Cameron.
Hey, Cameron.
Hi, Chance. I can look you in the eyes.
We can
say that. Not through a screen.
If we sound very in person and not zoomy, that's because we are.
We're in person.
Cameron's right here.
Look behind you. There we are. Hope you're not driving. That'd be scary.
We're in the car right behind you, recording the podcast. Hey.
10-2.
That's a no right on red sign. I'm watching you.
Busted.
Always watching.
Wazowski.
That is my wife's hair clip that I think looks like a crocodile mouth.
It does. It's nice. It's cool.
She loves them.
Seems like a quality hair clip.
She was testing her three types of hair clips, and it was by far her.
It's good to know. It's good to know those things about yourself.
Yeah. Apparently, hair clips hurt girls' heads a lot.
Just the patriarchy, man.
It is. It's
who designed these things? Men, probably.
It's just one of those things that, like, you don't think about as a man. And then they're like, my hair clip was hurting my hair. And I was like, well,
why are you wearing it?
Why are you wearing it? They're like, well, because I have to, because I'm a girl.
Beauty is pain.
So.
They tell me.
So they tell me.
I'm not beautiful.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. My puppy might know. He's very cute.
Mm-hmm. Is beauty pain, Waldo? He seems to say yes.
He's exploring the room we're in. When I sit at the table, he tends to eat his food. It's actually the only time he tends to eat his food, so if you hear my dog eating his food, sorry.
Yep. But here we are.
Here we are.
This isn't a Chance's Kitchen podcast.
Could be.
Yeah. It's a nice kitchen.
I mean, it's just a line. We struggled because we were at IKEA. We'll talk more about my kitchen. We were at IKEA on Friday?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Saturday?
And we struggle with what to put in our kitchen and our living room because they're just long.
Mm-hmm.
They're like long and narrow. And it's like, we saw lots of like cute islands. Can't use those.
No, nope, you don't got room for an island.
And, you know, we can only really have a table this size.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just long and narrow.
Yeah. There is just the three of you, though.
Yeah, it is. Nice. It is. There's no good place to put our television. There's just not a good spot. But anyway.
Trials and tribulations. I lied. This is a Chance's Kitchen podcast.
This is all about home decor.
Can you help us? If you take out this wall, expand the foundation, just push everything back.
In this economy?
Nice, large, custom island.
In this economy?
In esta economía?
But yes, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about comics and open cards.
Open cards. That's right. It's the final episode of the year, and it's a doozy.
We've got a special twist. One.
We have a long history. Like, we've been doing this for 5 years, just about.
Just about.
We have a long history of flying in the face of convention, pushing the envelope. Yes, especially doing extremely visual activities in an audio medium.
Yep.
You know how it is. We've eaten ice cream.
Yep.
Did we eat cereal one time?
We've done cereal and ice cream, yes.
We built Gundams once.
Yes.
That might be it. It's not that big of a list.
We went to all-you-can-eat shrimp at least twice.
We did that twice, yes. We ate all-you-can-eat shrimp while we recorded a podcast. Sadly, yeah. I can't do that anymore.
So, in the spirit of Limit Break, our classic series, we have Final Fantasy TCG packs, not the Magic the Gathering ones, because Magic is a hellhole that no one can escape from right now.
I did have a couple in my stocking that I opened with great relish.
Oh, good. But these are just the Square Enix produced Final Fantasy TCG ones. We've really been enjoying these mm-hmm. lately.
Journey of Discovery is the set.
Yes, it's the newest set. We bought a box, and we both have 9 packs to open. I figure we'll, like, do one right now, right off the rip.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll just do one, like, after each review.
Yeah.
And tell the viewers what we got.
Sounds good. You want to go first?
Okay, let's.
It's also a little ASMR.
Yeah, I'm going to rip it right in the mic. Well, I already did, so I hope you heard it. Just, if you've never collected these cards, the stock that they use and the texturing on the backs is, like, next level.
It is very nice. I just as a description, to help the listeners at home, my son was really interested in trying to build a house of cards, like stacking them up. Uh-huh. And our playing cards were a little too slippery. So I got these out and did it. And then I feel like the texture really held nicely.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. Okay. So I'm going through my commons right now. I got this cool cane, which I
enjoy. Oh, that is cool. I like that.
I don't know who Viper is. He's from 14. Another one from 14. Pictomancer. A chemist from 5, which is always cute.
Nice.
Yeah. That's a cool art. I don't remember him from 5, but it has been a long time since I've played 5.
That's like the main... He's one of the main 4. He's the one who dies.
Oh, is Spoiler he the alert. One who dies? Okay.
It's an old game, people.
Yeah. And it's not very memorable art style. Of the Final Fantasy game.
No.
All right. A bard from 5. And then, ooh, I got a red mage.
Shiny.
Yeah, a shiny red mage. I feel like this card is in my other deck, but not shiny.
Is he a backup?
Yeah, he's a backup. Ooh, I got a Noctis. As someone who has played most of 15.
You know who he is.
Ooh, Terra.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great Terra. Ooh, it's a DFF.
Dissidia.
Dissidia. It's the Dissidia, Terra. You're right.
Don't effing forget.
Yeah, and then I don't know who this is. Kamla. She's from Brave, the BE.
Oh, that's right. Nobody knows what that is.
Yeah. Ooh, and Balthier.
Good old Balthier. He's the main character. All right, is it my turn?
He's a rare. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, that was a bad rip. I mean, it opened, but it didn't look pretty. This is another one. This is a Brave Exvius one. Ilmatel. No idea. Pictologica. Ooh, Rex from Final Fantasy XII. But DFF. A Machinist from 14. Fire Elemental. So far, not much to write home about.
But until you get to the holographic card,
that's when it really... I got another red mage, like you, but not shiny. A Bard. Call. Also from Exvius. Gosh.
Yeah, it must be
a BE set. Ooh, Zell. An EX. Ooh,
that's a cool looking Zell.
Firion.
Oh, you got Final Fantasy
2.
Yeah.
I like that. He just looks cool. This is quite a few cool cards. Elene from 8. Is she the interest of Laguna?
Oh, she might be. Yeah.
I like the look of that card, though. And a Shadow Lord.
Interesting.
From Pictologica. I have no idea what Pictologica is.
Your Zell looks like it's like an alternate art or something.
It looks cool.
Yeah, maybe not quite, but it's still very cool.
He's an EX. Which in the game, an EX... No, EX isn't. It is special, but I was thinking Limit Break. Limit Break is the different one.
Yeah, my...
like my Therian is a Limit Break.
I think my Terra is a Limit Break, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, this Terra is a Limit Break.
The Shadow Lord is also a Limit Break.
Do you have any H's? Did we get any heroics? I didn't. I got Noctis as my legendary, and the rest are just rares.
I got Zell as a heroic.
Oh, wow. he just looks rare. That Zell does.
Everything else is common. Common, common, common.
Yeah. All right. Well,
beautiful.
We'll open some more cards, but first we're going to do what this podcast does. Uh-huh. I'm also reserving the right to change something this week. We don't have to do this every week. But I want... I love that we celebrate what is good on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
But I also want to talk about why things don't work sometimes. So at the end, I want to do a worst book.
That's okay.
If you have a worst book.
I don't... Like, of the ones that I have?
Yeah.
I think maybe, but I still liked it. But okay. I just... There's something about it that just didn't work for me.
Yeah. So I want to do maybe a little bit longer of a review for our worst book.
I'm trying to see what episode number this is, so I can believe this is an episode. This is episode 45, which means you go first.
Okay, great. Well, just for reference, we are doing last week and this week. I only had one book this week and 5 last week, and Cameron only had
one last book week and like 5 this week.
And 5 this week, so we both ended up with 6 if we did it today. So we wanted to kind of like equalize it out.
And I don't have any books this week.
I think I have 1 or 2.
So I'm guessing this next week we also won't have an episode because I'll have nothing to talk about.
Yeah. I'll have to look. I don't know if I do or not, but we'll do those on the next
episode. Yeah, the following.
I'm really excited about the new year. We'll talk about that in the B segment. But there's a lot of really exciting announcements coming out. But I'm also concerned about a few things. So we'll get into that. This is just more to come. But yeah, my best book this week. It's been my best book several times. But it's my best book for a new reason this time. Is Superman Unlimited at number 8. This book by Dan Slott and Jeremy Adams with art by... I believe it's Dan Mora, but I'll check. Oh, no. Lucas Meyer. I apologize. Just continues to be great. Continues to be a great modern telling of Superman. In a world where I, right now, am really enjoying small stories about superheroes that have, like, a very close, extended cast, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really enjoying, like, Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, that kind of idea of, like, oh, it's Spider-Man, and he's got Mary Jane, and he's got a contentious relationship with J. Jonah Jameson, mm-hmm. like...
And he's not necessarily, like, saving the whole world.
Yeah.
He's just kind of dealing with this stuff.
Yeah, in a world where I'm really enjoying books like that, like Spider-Gwen, like The Mortal Thor... this is kind of the opposite of that, but it really is how Superman fits. Like, it's using this, what's the word? Device of Earth having a ton of kryptonite on it to tell, a story about just Superman and the DC universe. But I think in a really fun way. The summary for this is not going to take very long. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek poke at Blue Origin, you know, that flight that took like Katy Perry and like
mm-hmm.
a few people up into space. The current CEO of Stag Industries, who famously is the enemy of Metamorpho,
with the eyebrows.
Yes,
mm-hmm. I know him from Justice League.
Yep, but it's not that. It's not Simon Stag. It's some younger guy, whatever their current. But he is doing the first ever faster-than-light commercial flight with an influencer, with a pop star, a tech billionaire, and Lois Lane, editor-in-chief of the Daily Planet.
What could go wrong?
Toy Man made the rocket. It's got a kryptonite engine. But there are some aliens, and they are not... thrilled about the idea of humans being able to go anywhere. Their superheroes are bad and meddlesome enough. Their people just being able to go out into the universe, they're not thrilled with. So obviously they...
No, same, honestly.
Yeah. So obviously they have a plan to make the whole thing go awry so that humans will stay on their planet. And that's it. But they've got somebody to protect the ship. And that someone is Guy Gardner.
Just the best humanity has to offer.
yeah. He doesn't want to do it, but Carol kind of badgers him a little bit and being like, oh, well, you know, since Hal's on medical leave, you're the only one who can. And Carol doesn't do it with her own superpowers because she owns a company that's a direct competitor.
Yeah, it'd be a conflict of
it. Yeah, so... So it's got to be Guy, and he's like, fine. This is what I get for being the best.
That's right, Guy.
Classic Guy Gardner. Guy Gardner is really the reason this is my best book. But then, you know, it's just Clark telling Lois that he does want her to go, that the only thing he worries about is losing her, not being fast enough to save her. Like, Toy Man's really fun in the countdown, treating it like a game, and everyone's like, no, this is a serious launch, but he's Toy Man, he's like, so...
Listen, do you hear my name?
Yes.
Do I sound like I'm here to not have a good time?
He's like, who wants to light the candle? And the guy goes, we still have safety checks, Mr. Toy Man. Ah, oh, fine. The levels are good. Life support's good. Ugh. So they lift off. Guy's like, this looks like just a normal shuttle, and then it opens up with all these... boosters in the back, and they're like, it won't for long, and then they shoot out past Pluto. This influencer takes a picture with Guy Gardner in the back, which he hams it up for it, because that's who Guy Gardner is. But of course, there's an armada of alien ships ready to blow them away. And this is where Superman says, like, I don't worry about Darkseid or Doomsday. I'm not afraid of compromising to save the world. But he's like, my fear is that someday I won't be fast enough to save you. He's talking about Lois. Guy is in a ship, kind of like playing a video game, just shooting the other ships. And Superman's like, Guy, you can do better than that. Like, we need to protect this ship. He's like, fine. So he starts using, like, these rams to ram into the enemy ships. While Superman protects the Kryptonite ship, which I feel like they should have just traded. Because Superman knows it's a Kryptonite ship.
Mm-hmm. He can fly around pretty fast. That's like his thing.
Yeah, like, I don't know why he's not taking out the ships. And Guy's not
done
on the Kryptonite ship, but whatever. But the crew goes to get their deep space suits on, but there's already people in their deep space suits. Oh no! It's some people that we saw the head of Stag Industries talking to earlier. And what do you know? They're shapeshifters who shapeshift into them. But Lois, before she can be shapeshifted into, puts on green lipstick. And they're like, that's not normally your style. And she's like, I know. So she puts on the green lipstick. The person shapeshifts into her. And then Superman and Guy finish up outside. But one of the guys is like made out of plasma. And he's like, ah, but I've got one more trick. I can blow up a Kryptonite engine. So he fires at it. And Toyman's like, silly alien. I know a thing or two about toys. And I know that toys break. So I made darn sure my AAA crypto batteries were sealed in Energon for just such an emergency. So the ship doesn't blow up, but the crew gets back to Earth. And Superman's like, your lips are green. And she's like, yeah. Thank you, Superman. I'm always safe around here. And he says xylophone, which is a fairly famous, like safe word between the two of them. She's like, what? And he's like, yeah, I get that. So he wraps them all up, reveals that they're all Durlians. Guy brings the real ones home. And Superman and Guy Gardner have saved the day.
Yay!
It's just, I love Superman's interactions with Guy Gardner. I think Toyman, as a engineer and kind of like super serious engineer, but also like Toyman, is hilarious. And I just think the writing in this continues to be top notch. I think we've talked a little bit about it, but we've talked a little bit about how, like, there's been some superstars that kind of came in when we were out of comics for a while. And Dan Slott, I really feel like, is one of them. I feel like everything he touches kind of turns to gold.
Nice.
So that is Superman Unlimited number 8.
Number 8. All right. Well, keeping in the vein of Superman, or do you want to open a card pack?
Oh, are we going to do it after we review one? I guess.
Let's do one after I do mine, and we can both do one.
Yeah.
Keeping in the vein of Superman.
Okay.
This is Absolute Superman, number 14, which is, I feel like, the end of our first big arc.
Okay.
They were kind of wrapped up, and I feel like I've enjoyed Absolute Superman. It's been my best book multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been times when it's just like, okay, what are we doing? Like, this is interesting, but is this really what? And I think by the end of this one, I was like, this is...
It seems to me, as someone who has listened to you, that it's got higher highs than Batman, but not as high as...
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman consistently is at a high.
Uh-huh.
Batman is consistently at a medium, and this one kind of fluctuates.
Kind of fluctuates, yes. Wonder Woman was almost my best one, but I feel like I've talked about it so much.
Yes.
But it is very enjoyable because it is her team up with Batman, which I found to be delightful. But I feel like Absolute Superman was just like, it kind of sells you on Superman, and even this version of Superman. So this will also be pretty quick because most of this is just kind of like the final battle of the arc. So it wakes up where Superman is like, clearly there's like a filter over the art where it's like he's dying, basically. And he's back home and his parents are like, it's time to come home. Krypto's there. He's like, what? But then we see he's been stabbed through the torso with a big kryptonite sword by Ra's al Ghul. I feel like Ra's. The art is very impressive.
Who is the artist?
The artist is Rafa Sandoval.
Hmm.
Jason Aaron on writing. He's good. He's good at what he does. Both of them. But basically, Ra's al Ghul has been, over the last multiple issues, been trying to brainwash Superman to become his son.
His heir, yes.
And, like, his heir. And Superman is just refusing to do it. And he, like, spits in Ra's al Ghul's face. He's like, would you spit in the face of a god? He's like, if there is a god, he ain't you. I'm like, you ain't it. Go to hell, Ra's al Ghul. So they're fighting. It's a lot of back and forth. He's going to have Brainiac kill all of Superman's friends, which is basically just Jimmy and Lois, and then, like, the townspeople of Smallville who've, like, stood up for him. And they've been kind of in siege all of this time. And Brainiac has, like, taken over the AI that has been, like, controlling Superman's cape. Like, he has this kind of the Stardust cape. And essentially, the AI sacrifices itself to stop Brainiac from taking over the cape. So it is gone, which is a bummer.
The cape's gone, or just the AI?
The AI. And at this point, he thinks the cape is gone, too. But it's unclear. But by doing that, the townspeople are freed because they're being held by Brainiac as he's taken over this, like, red Krypton dust, basically, that has been Superman's cape all this time. But Superman, like, blasts the ground and frees everybody. So they come out, and, you know, it's just a big fight. Lots of fighting. One of the Peacemaker guys in the mech suit, like, picks up Superman, and Ra's gets mad about it. Like, who said you could touch my son? He's even about to kill the Peacemaker, and then Superman comes and saves him. He's like, you would even save, like, your enemy, the person who's, like, going against you. And he's like, of course I would. Like, he was in danger. And then all the townspeople they have all their guns, and they're ready to square off against the Peacemakers, too. Because, you know, it's Kansas. They got a famous history of battling against tyranny.
Do they?
I feel like a lot of pre-Civil War. Like a lot of, yeah.
I don't know. I guess
maybe they're not always on the right side, but, you know.
I guess I don't know much about the history of Kansas.
I feel like there is.
Okay. I believe you. I don't know anything.
You know, there's just a lot of back and forth. But then the Superman, the cape, essentially, he turns it into a big sword. And he's fighting the Kryptonite sword with the other Stardust, basically. And they're fighting against each other as the townspeople are going. There's this really cool big picture spread where they're doing the fighting. And he's, like, remembering all these things that people have said about him and that he's said to himself.
Lots of melee weapons in the Absolute Universe.
There are. That's what the Absolute means.
Absolute melee weapons.
Yeah. Super Smash Brothers Absolute. Then we cut back where he's with his parents again as he's dying or thinking about it. They're like, you can't come. You're already home. Like, you can't come with us. And they disappear. And then he's back on Earth. His red sword cuts through the Kryptonite sword. And Ra's al Ghul is defeated. And Ra's is like, then kill me. Like, strike me down. Give me what I deserve. And then we see Superman has him all tied up and takes him back to Pakistan, where at the very beginning of the series, like, his soldiers killed a lot of people in Pakistan. So he's, like, taking him there to receive justice from the people that he's harmed. And the news crews all come into Smallville, and they're like, there's reports of a Superman, but they're unconfirmed, as he's, like, walking through the streets. He tries to go see Martha Kent, because she's at this senior living facility. And she's been kind of helpful during the siege, but it turns out she passed away.
Oh, no, Martha!
Jonathan had already passed away, but she had had dementia, and so she was, like, in and out. But in the last weeks through all this, she was, like, very lucid and, like, very aware. And, you know, Superman lost his cape, but she made Superman a new suit.
Oh, good.
Sitting there, so it says, from Martha and Jonathan, for our angel, our lost son, Clark Kent. But it was just...
That's so sweet.
It just felt very sweet. And just, like, this town that cares about Superman and Superman caring about people and, like, not killing Ra's al Ghul. Like, I was like, is he going to do it? I feel like that feels very the Man of Steel, if that were to happen. But he doesn't. And I'm sure, you know, Ra's al Ghul will face justice and everything will work out great.
Yeah.
Nothing bad will happen.
Nothing.
But I just thought it was a really nice wrap-up to everything that's happened in Absolute Superman up to this point. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see where we go from here.
Yeah,
anything goes anywhere.
It seems like the Absolute Universe is about to become much bigger.
Which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Not complaining. But yeah, Absolute Superman, Jason Aaron and Rafa Sandoval.
Number
14.
14.
All which right. I think in our very first episode, I had talked about Absent Superman number one.
I think you did. I think that's true. All right, shall we?
Be my guest. Ooh. That was a powerful rip.
I feel like it was a good sound. Mm-hmm. Did you like it out there, listener?
Let us know. I think that's this.
Ooh, I hope so.
It's a good sound wave.
I hope you...
Waveform.
Ooh, I got a T-Rexor.
From Final Fantasy VIII?
Mm-hmm.
In the Balam Garden.
Ace? Don't know what that is, but he's cool looking.
Is he from Zero?
Yeah.
I think they're all like playing cards.
Mm, okay. A Fire Elemental, which I think you got.
I did.
A 14 character.
These are meaningless to us.
They are, but that's okay. I always love the monsters when I come.
Ooh, a Marlboro.
Uh-huh. Another red mage. A samurai. Ooh, it's cool looking.
He is a cool looking samurai. Makes me think of Ganondorf just a little.
A little bit. Ooh. I'm blanking on how to say the name.
Ultimacia.
Ultimacia. So I got a heroic shiny. Hello. Very cool.
Ultimacia, the bad guy of Final Fantasy VIII that's not even mentioned until the very end.
I mean, she's in The Sorceress.
But you don't know that.
Well, yeah, that's true. Ooh, I got another heroic too, Imphrit.
I'm a Final Fantasy non-apologist.
I am an apologist for it. For the story. I love the story. I think the junction system is bad. Ooh, I got a Warrior of Light.
Ooh, I like the Warrior of Light.
This is a good pack. Makov from 11. It's a dancer. Still a cool one, though.
Uh-huh.
Luneth.
Luneth from 3?
I've never played 3. It's the one I have never played.
I feel like it was the test case for Final Fantasy V's jobs.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I don't think it works as well. All right. Here we go. Not quite as swift. Ooh, I got an Ace also. A Reaper from 14. Another Brave Exvius character. Another 14 character. Ooh, Ject.
Oh, it's a cute little Ject.
He's cute. He's cute.
I think that's from the Dissidia.
That's from Opera Omnia.
Oh, is it?
A monk from 14. Another samurai. Less like Ganondorf. The hair is very Ganondorf. And the giant body. Oh, a Yuna. Yuna EX.
Ooh, a shiny Yuna EX. What's its rarity?
Rare.
Ooh.
Seymour. He's heroic.
Seymour.
He's not heroic. He's a villain.
He's the worst.
I hate his guts. But he looks like he's a good card, actually.
I was trying to explain Jack to Nikki the other day.
Cypher.
Ooh.
And the picture looks weird.
I'll give you Ultimacia to go with him.
Robel Akbel. And Guy from Final Fantasy II.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny.
He
can talk to beavers.
You know, one of the things that I don't remember, if it's ever explained why it happened, is why Cypher goes to work for the Sorceress. At the end of Disc 1, because the last time I played 8 it was still on discs, he's just kind of like her servant. And it's just kind of out of nowhere. Does it ever explain why he's working for her suddenly?
I don't remember. It's been a few years.
Like I said, the last time I played it was on discs. Okay. So, this will be much quicker, book blurbs. My next one is Ghost Pepper number 6 by Ludo Lalabi and Adriana Lucas. I feel like the art in this issue was a major step up, and the story is really great. I feel like the last two issues have kind of been exposition dumpy. Just kind of trying to set the stage. But the stage is set and things are happening. And it's just a very exciting issue. It kind of begins in media re when something's happening. And then I'm not 100% sure, but I think it like cuts back, in time. It doesn't say like 2 days later or anything. So I'm excited to see how we got there.
Mm-hmm.
From where this issue ends. But we don't know in this one, but it continues to be a great series that I'm very much enjoying.
It makes me think of this. Did you ever watch Seinfeld? There's an episode of Seinfeld that's done entirely in like 5 minutes before, like 5 minutes before that. Like it starts at the end of the episode and then it's just constantly like
going back.
Uh-huh. And I just always thought that was very funny. Like a fun, not like way to do a whole bunch of stories, but like for like a one-off.
For a one-off, yeah.
You're like seeing how you got to the end throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I expected us to end kind of where the beginning began, but we don't. So I don't know how we get there. All right.
Next for me, Hornsby and Halo number 13.
Ooh.
I really enjoyed this one. I think it also kind of marks the end of the arc that we've been on all this time, where the kids are like, are we going to embrace our destiny? Are we not? Also, hopefully going to be doing away with, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of that parallel storytelling where it's like the same thing that's happening to Zach is happening to Rose. But then in the end, they meet together and it's whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's over, I think, because they've kind of, they've not reached a decision, but they're kind of like, we want to be who we are. We don't necessarily want to embrace our destinies, but we also want to help people.
Are they going to have a superhero arc?
I hope so. And kind of the main antagonists that have been hounding them up to this point have been dealt with.
Okay.
And there's a really cool fight between them and the Nephilim. That's a lot of fun. But it's enjoyable. I really liked it. That was Peter J. Tomasi and Peter Sneeberg and John Callis and Rob Lee. It's a big, big list.
Love it. All right.
Oh, gosh. We're just every single time.
Yeah, every time. And then we'll do one. We'll rip one after B segment, and we'll rip one after
one more thing.
All right, I got a Picturagia. Oh, but it's Raijin from 8.
Oh yes.
So I got Rex from 12, Machinist from 14.
I had that one too.
14 just seems like it would be cool.
It would, but I just don't have a life to commit to such a thing.
Yeah, and nor do I have like a good way to.
And I don't. It's like one of the one games that's like a subscription.
Yeah, Gladiator, Black Mage. Which Black Mage is one of the decks I want to make. So as many Black Mages as I can get is good. Ooh, a shiny Locke though.
Oh yeah.
I love Locke. Funny story for the listener at home that I don't think I've ever told. When I was in kindergarten, my favorite two characters in, like, fiction were Locke and Aladdin.
They do have a similar thing going on.
Uh-huh. So, I remember my parents had to get called one time because when I was asked what I wanted to be when I grow up, I said a thief. Like, to the whole class, to my teacher. I was like, a thief! I was like, but Locke and Aladdin are thieves, and they're good guys.
Yeah.
So
you're not wanting to be a bad guy. You're wanting to be a good guy.
Yeah. I want to save the world like Locke does.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of, particularly children's media, where the thief is the good guy.
Yeah.
Robin Hood, it's a big one.
It's a big one. And yeah, and Locke is just like that.
Yeah. He's fox. He's a fox with a tail. No, he's not that. He's a human.
Yeah. So, love getting a shiny lock, Ultimisia, but this one's not shiny.
What's even the point?
Riddar. I don't know you, but you're cool looking.
Don't know who that is or what he's from.
Bravexia.
Oh. I'll never know. I don't even think that game's online anymore.
No, I don't think it is.
I think it was taken down.
This is a cool looking character from 14. He's a gunbreaker. I don't know what that is.
Sounds like fun, though.
Thancred.
I feel like he's one of the main 14 characters.
Cool. Love it. And then Fran.
Fran, to go with your Balthier.
Oh, I did get a Balthier and a Fran. And I got a Terra and a Locke. Man, it's a good time to be me.
It is. Oh my gosh, that was ugly. But sound was nice.
Yeah, it was a good sound. That's all that matters.
Pictomancer. A Tonberry.
Ooh.
Tonberries are scary.
But they're cute.
That's what's so scary about it. Marsalga from Brave Exvius again. Call from Brave Exvius again. Creel from 5.
Oh, yeah.
She takes over after her grandfather dies.
Nice, yep.
Yep. Gladiator from 5. Thief from 5. Chance wanted to be him. Regis from 15. Also, that's just a cool looking holo.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's a full art.
That's a cool card.
Let's see how much it is. I'm looking.
It's an L. L means loser. Ooh, another hero card. 9. Or heroic. 9.
Oh, yeah. Zero. I thought you were saying from 9.
Oh, no. I wish. Adelheide, 11. The Emperor, from 2. And someone from 11. Hodrail.
Ooh, that Regis is $11.
Hey, not bad.
You've never beaten 15, right?
No.
I don't know how 15.
My copy of 15, I'm fairly certain my firstborn threw into the trash. He was into throwing things in the trash phase, and I think he somehow got the disc out and threw it away.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
It's a little funny.
From watching the movie that leads up to 3, and then seeing Regis's reactions as, like, the story of 15 plays out, it is so painfully obvious to me that the whole big twist of this is that Noctis is the chosen one to be a sacrifice. Like, his whole thing is to die, and that's actually why he's got the big chip on his shoulder that he's got throughout the whole story. And I just know I'm right. Like, because the whole thing is about, like, him experiencing a life he couldn't have. Like, that's what the whole game is about. So I'm probably... I would guess story-wise I'm halfway through, but I am already higher level than the final boss in the game. And there's a part of me that just wants to go through and beat it just to be right.
What if you're wrong?
I mean, I might be. You tell me out there if you've played 15, but...
I mean, that makes sense.
But Regis, like, he's got this whole face all of 15, just like, I love you, son. Like he's about to, like, break down and cry. And it's like, oh, but he just thinks he's about... No, he doesn't. They'd have no idea the attack's coming. Stop it. Anyway,
next book, please.
Yes. My next book, and probably the biggest contender for my best book, and I think I'm enjoying this series a lot more than the internet is. I almost picked that one up,
but I couldn't find the first issue. Because I was like, ooh, that seems fun. But I didn't.
excuse me. I've got the front that came in last night. It's messing with my throat sitch.
It did come in pretty hard.
It dropped, just so you know out there, listener, between 10 o'clock two nights ago and 10 o'clock last night, it dropped 60 degrees in this state.
That's a lot of degrees.
60 degrees. It's ridiculous. But
they were degrees from OU, so it's worthless. Hey-o!
Silly. But this is Planet She-Hulk by Stephanie Phillip and Aaron Kruder with Scott Hanna. Okay. This is the second issue, not episode, of this Planet She-Hulk storyline. And I'm just really enjoying it. It's, from what I understand, mostly new characters with a few, like, older, like, legacy characters. Because there's been, like, a Hulk of some sort on Sakaar since the World War... Not World War Hulk, the one that came right before that. The Planet Hulk.
Thus Planet She-Hulk.
Yeah, storyline.
It makes sense when you think about it for 2 seconds.
Yeah. So some of these characters are established, but a lot of them aren't. And we're really putting together, like, a cadre of, like, ambitious rulers and rival factions and all that. And She-Hulk does not want to be there. She was supposed to be here 3 days. Now she's been here 12. She wants to go home. But also, like, if the warrior who's declaring himself king wins, then Sakaar will be embroiled in never-ending war because he's someone who teaches people to fear other people and will keep peace through never-ending war. We know a thing or two about that. There's a woman who I don't really know her deal, but she, like, She-Hulk just goes to fight her to clear her head. and they're kind of, like, flirting and fighting at the same time. And then they figure out what She-Hulk figures out what she wants to do. And she's going to support the young former gladiator and slave who got really famous being an entertainer. And a lot of people think he should be king, so she's going to support him. And it turns out that the main supporter of the warlord is in love with him. And it's just, like, it's real good, like, political intrigue, and then just superheroing. Like,
She-Hulk with the giant sword.
Yep, She-Hulk with the giant sword. And she comes in to just save lives at the end when they're about to have their big conflict. She-Hulk's like, I'm not going to let you kill people. I'm not going to let them kill people. Like, and then a giant laser dragon wolf shows up. So.
Yeah. Laser Dragon Wolf.
Yeah, Laser Dragon Wolf. But it's I really enjoy this. I think the political intrigue is good. I think that the writer, Stephanie Phillips, has a great voice for She-Hulk. She's really very distinct in this. You kind of get like the sassy woman of the world, confident side of it. Like would probably rather be flirting with superheroes on Earth, but also will do the right thing and keep her promises. So she's going to take care of Sakaar.
Good for her.
Like she promised to. So I just think it's a great voice for a character. And I'm loving the political intrigue.
Nice. Also a woman with a giant sword. Absolute Wonder Woman, number 15. Crossover with Batman.
The first absolute crossover.
The first absolute crossover. The first ever team up is here.
Oh, it says that on the book.
It does say it on the front. And the next Batman also is Wonder Woman. Though this is like contained, which I like. So if you're like only reading one, you can just read the one. Maybe they'll be connected. I'm sure they'll be connected. But yeah, it's just like Wonder Woman and Batman. There's been a series of murders in Gotham that seem like magically related. And so they're like investigate those. But there's a moment. I'm trying to remember. And there's some shadowy figures in the background doing their thing. There's something she says, though. Oh, he's like, Batman's like, you've already, like, you've made this big name for yourself. You've done these giant things. Like, do you think you could ever go back to, like, in the shadows and, like, be obscure? And she's like, I don't think I can. And, like, it's too big now. And he's like, would you if you could? And she's just like, no, I don't think so. She's like, love is transformative, and I don't know how to show people or show that to people without living it. Like,
ooh.
Her whole deal, she's like, I need to be with people because that's how you make a change, isn't by beating the monsters, but by showing people a better way.
Mm-hmm.
Which I suppose is just really spoke to me. And yeah, and then it's just fun. Like, you know, things go awry, but it's all fixed with some stuff that was introduced at the beginning. Just a really, really fun little team up. Weird magical cult. Nice action. Jumping out of exploding buildings. It's good. It's cool. And Zatanna is in the next one.
Oh, fun. Yes, I've seen her absolute look. I like it. And that was by who?
That was by Kelly Thompson, Hayden Sherman.
All right. For those of you in Listenerville, if you can hear it, my heater just kicked on. So I
hope we're grateful for it. It dropped 60 degrees.
Yes. But I just, if that is, if you are hearing something in the background, I apologize for that.
I don't.
He doesn't. All right. Opening another pack. What are you crossing your fingers for?
I have no idea what's even in these.
I haven't like looked to see like what the chases are.
I feel like
that Regis is a big one though. Ooh, I got a Dragoon, my favorite class in Final Fantasy.
Go with your cane that you got earlier.
Another T-Rexosaur, a fun bard with an electric guitar. Love that. A chemist, love chemists. General Leo, yeah.
Another Final Fantasy VI edition.
Yeah, I got that same Black Mage. Oh, I didn't get this Gladiator IV. He's cool. Oh, I got the Emperor from 2, right?
I got that one. I said it similarly to you. Where did I get the
Emperor? Ooh.
I did get the Emperor. There he is. He's a limit break.
I got a summon from 12, Chaos Walker of the Wheel.
Oh!
He's cool.
I love the summons in 12 because they're also the bad guys in Tactics.
Are they?
Yeah, they're the,
They're the Lukavi. Lukavi?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know. 12 is another one I've never beaten. 12 and 3.
It's on my list to revisit it again this year.
Ooh,
because yes. It's one of my favorites. Just feel like really take my time.
Oh, you can remove... Okay, cool. Laguna! I love Laguna.
It's Laguna!
The best character in 8... I'm not going to read his ability right now. We're on Mike. Another 14 character. 14 characters look really cool. It's Koana, for those who don't know, and a van.
Van.
I got Van Balthier and Fawn.
No, that's not Van. That's Bosch von Rothenberg.
Vaughn, you're right.
No, Bosch. He said, I am Bosch.
Oh, yes, yes. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Chance.
I'm not as familiar with 12.
Can a guy make an obscure quote without people thinking he's wearing a Charlie Kirk shirt? That's what happened. My wife got me a shirt for Christmas that says a film by Kirk, which is a reference to Gilmore Girls, that is wonderful. And I was wearing it at Target, And a guy was like, I like your shirt. And I responded, oh, thank you. Like, this guy gets it. And he was like, he was a great man. And I was just oh no. And I told that story to my wife later, and she was like, oh no.
That Kirk never even made films.
Yeah.
Yes, if you are not familiar out there, I am sure on TikTok or Reels you have heard the sound, because it gets used a lot. What do you have to offer her? Not much. Only this. And then someone does something like silly or something, off their thing. That's a film by Kirk. That is taken directly out of that. I feel like it's almost more famous than Gilmore Girls is at this point. Sound on.
It's not Charlie Kirk.
Social media.
It's funny because just a couple days ago, I think it was DC, made a post of like happy birthday Sean Gunn, or celebrating the work of Sean Gunn, and it started with a clip from
a film by Kirk.
Yeah, from a film by Kirk. Anyway, here we go. Maybe I'll get a Kirk card.
I don't.
That was a bad opening.
You're not the best terror. I'm just kidding.
I'm not. A Reaper again. A Mog.
Ooh.
Six. Fun.
I Dragoon. Would play an entire game that was, you know, the part where you have to like kind of tower defend in Six with all of the different Moogles.
Uh-huh.
I'd play an entire game like that.
I don't love that part, but, you know, to each their own.
I love Moogles. I mean, I would
love it. They're very strong. The Moogles are very strong.
I would love it fleshed out more, honestly.
A little more going on. A Dancer. Is this the Dancer you have?
No, different Dancer.
This is a 14 Dancer. Another Marsalga. My favorite type of chicken dish. Chicken Marsalga.
Chicken Marsalga.
Gladiator, just like you got. Clara from 11. A shiny Marsalga.
Ooh.
I got three Marsalgas. A Moomba.
A what?
From Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh, yes.
An old Moomba. An Onion Knight. Fun. He looks like a ninja.
They can be anything.
I guess so.
That's the whole point.
Something from 11. And Van.
You got a Van, too.
I got a Van, too. Look at us. Just a couple of Van heads.
Ooh. We're getting all the good cards.
We think.
Probably. All right. My next one is The Mortal Thor, number 5. By... They move the page, the title page.
Let's do... Actually, Marvel usually doesn't.
Maybe it's just at the very beginning and I missed it. Nope. At the very end? Yes, it's at the very end. All right. By Al Ewing and Pasquale Ferry. This continues to be great. Most of this is a conversation between Odin and Loki. Apparently, Odin has left.
Oh, I forgot this was the Mortal Thor. I thought it was a black cat. And I was like, why? Why is it a conversation between Thor and Loki?
Spoilers for my next one. Basically, Odin has left Valhalla, and he can never go back, but he was always a seeker of knowledge anyway. So he doesn't want to be king. He doesn't want to be... he doesn't want to be powerful. He doesn't want to be dead in Valhalla. He wants to be traveling and seeking knowledge. But Loki can't get Thor out of prison because it's taking everything he can to keep whatever magic he's doing, which we know it's making Thor mortal, but we don't know what else it's doing. Whatever he's doing, it's keeping all of his energy, so he can't do anything about it. So he asks Odin to, and Odin's like, Thor's mortal now. He made a mortal decision, and the mortal authorities picked him up. And Loki's like, yeah, but there's an immortal, and it's Donald Blake, which originally... I don't know how much you know about Thor's history.
Wasn't that his alter ego?
Well, yeah. Originally, Donald Blake was Thor. At least that's the way I remember it. Was Donald Blake was Thor. It was just... like his human, like he was the host of Thor. And then he would say the words, he would turn into Thor.
He'd say Shazam.
Yes, he would say Shazam, exactly. But I guess he's been retconned to be a soul created by Odin to house Thor. And once they were separated, he like lost everything and he became a villain. So he basically picked up... the mortal Thor at the end of this book and was like, you have something that I've always needed. Your soul!
Oh, no!
Which is just, that's fun.
It is. It's a good one. For me, the next one, Absolute Flash number 10. Safe to say my least favorite of the Absolute books that I'm getting. It's fine. There's a fun moment where the rogues that we know are fighting against Heatwave.
Ooh.
And then they're being beat, and then it suddenly starts raining a lot and like puts all the fires out. And then we've seen him briefly, but the weather wizard is there.
Oh, it's an old weather.
And he's just like, hey guys, what'd I miss?
Is he a metahuman or does he have a staff?
He has a staff, but they all seem to have been given, like, imbued with these powers through... actually, they all seem to be more tech-based.
Okay. Because
they just got them from the military...
Okay.
...installation at the Olympus Project. There's some weird, like, timey-wimey things that I think are going to be happening. Alternate dimension-type stuff.
I mean, it's the Flash.
It is the Flash. So... But the art's really good. I believe it's Nick Robles on art with Jeff Lemire writing. I couldn't find the page. Oh, here it is. Yeah, Jeff Lemire and Nick Robles.
I really like Jeff Lemire and his ability to reimagine, like, a hero.
Uh-huh.
I think he does a really good job of that. But I just... The first two issues of Absolute Flash did nothing. The powers as an anxiety for... or a metaphor for anxiety thing.
Uh-huh.
It was just... It was a little more than I cared for.
Yeah. I think ultimately... The word I would use to describe Absolute Flash is just bombastic. It feels very loud and bright, but ultimately me.
Okay. Love it.
So
they really need to... They need to get someone who can really write the Flash.
I'll do it. I'll figure it out.
You got it.
I'll crack the code.
You got it. All right.
Jeff Johns did a great job.
He did. But I feel like Jeff Johns and Francis Manapul both did great work. And I feel like since... I haven't heard of like...
A great Flash book.
A great Flash book. And I feel like what they really need to do is just do what Marvel's doing with all these characters. Take him back to basics. Give him a strong supporting cast. He's the hero of Central City. Like,
let him do that.
I don't know. That was a good one.
It was.
That was a good one. I'm going to skip repeats. I got Mog. Nice. This is like the same pack you got.
What's that one?
Golof.
Another one?
Yeah. Ethereal Musketeer. I like the sound of that. It's a Final Fantasy XI one. A Marlboro. Do I know you? Leheo Habhoka?
No idea. Is that 11? Final Fantasy 11?
A Shiny Dragoon.
Oh, a Shiny Dragoon.
It heard me. Ooh, another lock. I don't know if it's the same lock or not. It's different art. The original like concept art.
Uh-huh. Is it Amano?
Yeah, I think so. Ooh, I got Gladius to go with my Noctis. Gladiolus. I've always said Gladius. I got that. You know you got, but yours was shiny, right?
Mm-hmm. So better.
Ooh, and then an Auron.
Ooh, an Auron. Auron. Final Fantasy.
Dude.
But that looked like a opera Omnia.
This was Dissidia.
Here I go.
Go ahead. A less exciting pack, but not...
Week opening. Summoner. I feel like I've got quite a few summoner cards.
I haven't gotten a summoner yet.
We got Yuna.
Oh, yeah.
I also got Seymour. Fujin.
From 8?
8.
I got Raijin. Is it the same kind of chibi? Yeah.
General Leo. Gesper from Mobius Final Fantasy. Another one that you can't play anymore. The picture looks cool, though.
Oh, it is.
He's cool. A war machine. Garnet. It's one of our first 9 characters. Let's go around. I never have known how to say this monster name. Coral?
Oh, yeah.
It's the tiger with the giant... The leopard with the giant whiskers.
The most annoying creature to fight in Final Fantasy XV that there is.
Baltier, but shiny.
Ooh, you got a shiny there. He's your favorite.
Yeah. Adel from 8. Means nothing to me.
Yeah, I don't remember. Oh, your back one's kind of messed up.
It is?
It looked like it to me.
Oh, it is. It is a little bit. Yuna. Non-shiny. Laguna.
Oh, you got a Laguna.
And Chaos Advent. That's my... He is a little bit dinged up in the corner. From...
Paradise.
Stranger of Paradise. Final Fantasy Origin. I have to kill Chaos. I've heard mixed things about that one. Some people say it's really fun.
I am just not interested in the Final Fantasy that is Devil May Cry. I have Devil May.
Devil May Cry exists as its own thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that style of game.
Yeah.
It's just not my bag.
Starting my next book is Black Cat, number 5. My constant and still 7 out of 10.
Number five, you said?
Yep. Black Cat number five by G. Willow Wilson with art by Gleb Melnikov. I continue to like this book. I don't love it. Every week I pick it up and I enjoy it. I feel like this book is a great payoff to the other four. We kind of have waxing philosophical about what Black Cat's been doing for the last four issues, and really kind of setting her sights on the future. So as like a kind of setting the stage arc, I think this is really good. I'm excited to see where this book goes. If it goes anywhere, I haven't even checked to see if it's coming back. But this whole Black Cat trying to be a hero thing.
She's trying.
Yeah, she's trying. She's trying to be a justice influencer, which is kind of fun. Well, I don't know if she's trying to be, but she is being one.
That's the real influence. They don't try.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm enjoying this book. It's like right on the edge where like any other book I would drop, but it's not hit below that line for me yet.
Nice.
So that is not Storm number one, Earth's Mightiest Mutant. It is Black Cat number five. The Storm number one, Earth's Mightiest Mutant is on the back. Unfortunately, I have confirmed that that is a recent. I still might read it, but
all of the solo titles?
I believe Cyclops and Storm are both five issue minis.
Rogue probably is.
I don't know.
Colossus Magique seems like it'd be fun though.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll get into all this in the B segment. My next one, I see you don't have it over there. I was surprised. Batman Static Beyond number two.
Didn't know it came out.
Oh, that's why. I thought it was good. The story starts moving along. I feel like the art is still just really very fun. It kind of has that feeling of...
Think about this week or last week?
This week.
Huh. I just missed it on my list, I guess. Just
the feeling of the show, like the Batman Beyond show. But I just feel like the lighting especially is just like super cool. And we just have an antagonist that's just making moves. It's really good, though. It's that boy from the first
issue. I'll read it.
Yeah, you'll read it. But it's fun. Like,
I don't know.
There's just kind of this, like, Static is, like, this older, more established hero. I feel like if I knew more about what is the universe?
Milestone?
Yeah, if I knew more Milestone, I feel like there's a lot of Milestone. What I would imagine is Milestone.
There's not a ton in the first one.
Because, like, the city, they're, like, in Dakota.
Yeah, Dakota's Milestone.
But, like, that's where he is, and there's, like, a bunch of heroes from there. Icon,
yeah.
It's Tech Nine. Beacon.
Yep.
Like, it's just very Milestone-y. Where I'm like, I feel like if I knew that more, I would really appreciate it. But I'm still, like, liking it a lot. But then, you know, Terry McGinnis is, like, still a very young hero. He's, like, butting heads up against Static, who's like, this isn't your problem to worry about. But then, you know, he just gets in the mix anyway because he's Batman.
I love that aesthetic. Give me Static, an older Static, as kind of a secondary mentor to Terry, and I'm all in.
I mean, I did also just yesterday buy the Batman Beyond skin on my Fortnite character.
Oh, fun.
Which I really enjoy. He came with a glider. That's just the wings.
Oh, man.
It was included.
All right.
Go. I've been holding that in this whole time. I'm very sorry.
It's the fronts, man. They get you.
That's how you know we're coming at you live.
That Kane again, Summoner, Rex, Fujin. I got that one. Same War Machine thing you got. It's a cool looking card.
Uh-huh.
I don't know anything about it. Oh, this is the same pack you got. It even has Guard in. Then I got a Shiny Auron.
Ooh, Shiny Auron.
Go-Go from 6.
Uh-huh.
Oh, of course.
I was like, how do you not know Go-Go?
The mime at the very end.
Well, that's probably how you, because, I mean, who really ever thinks about Go-Go?
Yes. And it's also not how Go-Go looks.
Yeah, it is a bit of a different look.
Well, and my eyes might just be getting lost in it, too.
It is very busy artistically.
Oh, no, that's Rain, right? That's the...
That's the girl. Who did I have?
Who's the other girl?
My stack is getting too deep to just find an individual card. I should make a stack of, like, here's everything pre-shiny, and here's everything post-shiny.
Yeah. I got a Terra and an Onion Knight. So nothing new, but still good stuff. Well, I got the Rain. I wonder if she... Yeah, she pairs with Laguna. She searches for a card named Laguna and adds it to your hand. If you control a card named Laguna, you can...
I got Elena.
This doesn't 100% make sense to me. Because if you have this card out and Laguna, you can search for Squall. But the whole thing is, she wasn't Squall's. She was supposed to be, but she wasn't.
You know.
Oh, wait. Yeah, Laguna's Squall's dad, right?
I don't remember.
Well, because the whole thing of Seven, listener, for you don't know, is that these two people fell in love in the past. But then they lost track of each other. And they were, like, supposed to be together, but it didn't end up working out. But then they both get married to other people, have kids that are Squall and Riona. I'm not saying that right. That's okay. And they, the two of them, fall in love.
Uh-huh.
Like, in the place of what could have been. This is a beautiful story.
It is a beautiful story.
I just really like that part.
Anyway... I did it again. I'm the one who messed that corner up.
Oh.
With my opening, I'm assuming.
You gotta make sure you're pushing them down.
I gotta make sure, apparently. Another one of that. Another one of those.
This is again. A visual medium.
Jekt again. Call again. Ninjo again. Gladiator again. Another Creel. But I like that. Another Yuna, but different.
Ooh.
This is Yuna from 10-2.
I was about to say, is that Gun Token Yuna?
Goal Wings.
A Goal Wings deck would be fun.
Snovlinka from Brave Exvius. You say it just like that, but that's what it says. Snovlinka.
Snovlinka.
Spelled exactly like it sounds. Rinoa.
Rinoa, yes. I was, what did I say?
Not that.
Rihanna, something like that.
Rihanna, no. Ooh, Titus. Titus. If that's how you do.
If that strikes, you'll find the same.
And then Auron again.
Perfect.
Is that two Aurons in here? No, it was a Jekt. I got a Jekt and an Auron. And a Yuna. And a Titus.
It's a very 10 theme pack.
That's a very 10 theme pack right there.
10's still your favorite, right?
I think 6 is my favorite now.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what a dumb thing to say.
6 is everyone's. All right, and it's time for Worst Books.
Worst Books.
I'm not going to go through these like page by page like I would my best book. But we need to talk about Immortal Legend Batman. Now, this was the best issue so far. Like, bar none.
That doesn't say a lot.
Yeah. The internet seems to really love this book. Like, I was looking for, like, reviews. And, like, we are in the minority of
it doesn't make any sense. Because it's not that good.
Yeah. This is by Kyle Higgins and Matt Groom. And that's kind of why I wanted to do a worst book kind of breakdown on this. Because I think this whole thing is meaningless.
The man who laughs.
Yes. So I feel like there's like a cultural identity of Batman and like a actual comics identity of Batman. And I feel like this trades on a lot of the cultural identity of Batman. Like this, there's this idea, I think, in culture that all of Batman's rogues are dark reflections of himself. And I just don't think that's true.
I haven't even thought about it.
Like, there is a way that you could say that all of Batman's rogues are dark reflections on, like, culture. I think that would be fair. Like,
urban life.
Yeah, like, urban life, urban culture. Like, all of them have had major tragedies, and it's what they decided to do with those tragedies. You know, Poison Ivy became an eco-terrorist. We don't really know anything about the Joker's origins. Freeze became a...
Freeze guy.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Corporate espionagist for his wife.
Uh-huh.
Like all of that. Like, but this really trades on the idea. And you have to know that idea and accept that idea. That all of Batman's rogues are just Batman's dark reflection. And already I don't accept that. But I think this book has a lot of what I wanted in this series. They're back in Gotham. They're introducing other characters. They introduce Barbara Gordon. They do a ridiculous thing like give Batman's ship its own henshin belt so it can turn into a giant robot.
Good, good. This pleases me.
Yeah. It does a lot of the things that I wanted it to do.
Why couldn't it do that, you know, in issue one?
In issue one. But I still don't know who this Batman is. I still don't know who this Tim Drake is. Like, there's a lot of fun banter between Tim and Dick as they're fighting. They're fighting the Man Who Laughs, which is Joker. Like, Bruce Wayne separated his personality, and each aspect of his personality became a villain, except his resolve stayed him. And they all became they became like Floronic Man, or that was the Poison Ivy one, or Bane Man, or the
whatever they were
the
called.
Bane of Man, I think is what he was called.
The Two-Faced Man.
Uh-huh. And there's a really fun, like, Tim and Dick have a really fun dynamic in this where they're like, they're trading moves. Like, Tim's does flight of life and like shoots a whole bunch of them up in the air. And he's like, you could learn that move since you can use my light powers. He's like, yeah, but I can also do this. And he uses like night energy saw blades to saw some in half. So they have some fun dynamics. I wish I knew anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I knew anything about them. And this Joker is just Bruce Wayne. It's his all of his worst traits. The Man Who Laughs. It's all of his worst traits combined. So it's kind of interesting in like, to prepare for this fight, Bruce turned his ship into a giant robot, but the Joker also got a giant robot.
No.
Because it's the whole, like, dark reflection idea. And, of course, to stop the... to get at Batman, he tried to blow his robot up in the city. So Batman had to take his robot and fly it up, and both robots exploded. And then the Joker killed the Alfred robot.
No, not the Alfred robot.
And then the Alfred robot isn't quite dead, so then the Hush character finishes off the Alfred robot. And then the Hush character and the Joker character are talking about their evil plans together. And, or not the Alfred character, the Joker character, are talking about their evil plans together. And of course, Joker betrays the Hush character, which the Hush character has been in, like, two panels this entire series, so I don't care. And attacks the Hush character, and then he gets the belt and he turns himself into a twisted corruption of immortal legend Batman at the end. And it's legitimately a fairly cool issue. The problem is, one, how long it's taken us to get here. None of the characters we have met up to this point matter at all, because they have all just been one-off villains that assume we know who this Bruce Wayne is, which we don't. We have to know Bruce Wayne from normal comics and then, like, make inference. They've all been that. And then we have, like, really fun dynamic between, like, Tim and Dick. But that's not explored anywhere else. Apparently, Hush... what's his name? Thomas Elliot or something like that?
Sounds right.
Whatever Hush's name is, I don't even care. We have him.
Thomas Shisherman.
And he's been working with the Man Who Laughs to get to take down Batman. Okay. We haven't seen any of that. That doesn't matter to us. I don't know who Thomas is. I know that apparently his dad was the last Immortal Legend Batman, so I guess he feels entitled to it. But, like, that's not a character.
Yeah, largely it doesn't feel like anything.
No.
It's like trading on the knowledge. Actually, I guess it's kind of how Elseworlds work to an extent, is it's trading on your knowledge that you already have of the canon universe. Like, Superman Red Sun works in part because you have an understanding of who Superman is.
Yeah, I think that's true.
But also, that's like a really good one. Like, that one is well done.
But that one develops things. And that's just my problem. Like, this is a good issue. Cool things happen in this issue. But nothing is developed to this point. I don't care about this Joker. I've never seen this Joker before. Seemingly, Bruce dies at the real Bruce dies at the end of this one. I've seen this guy not be Immortal Legend Batman like twice. When this Joker, who was introduced in this issue, betrays this Hush. Who cares?
Like, it doesn't matter.
And when this Tim and Dick see this the Man Who Laughs turn into the Immortal Legend Batman at the end, this twisted version of the character, he met them last issue. I know they have a history, but as far as I'm concerned, he met them last issue. I don't know what their dynamic was. I don't know if he was a teacher to both of them or if they were all like more like Power Rangers and he was just the leader. I just don't. None of this worked for me. Like, I want it to because it's cool. And I will read. I think there's only one issue left. I think.
Might as well finish her off.
Yeah, I'm going to finish the comic because this was cool, but I just don't know why this is the way they decided to tell this story. I don't, yeah.
It's difficult to say.
And it's sad because it's such a cool idea, and I love the suits. I love the ship. I think calling the ship the Star Rider is an incredibly stupid idea. Why isn't it called the Bat Ship or something? Or that's another thing. Star Strider.
Star Bat Strider. The Bat Strider.
The Bat Ship. I don't know. But anyway.
What can you do?
If you enjoyed the Immortal Legend Batman, let me know. But I just don't. It didn't work for anything I wanted except for like, oh, so that's how the Joker will be incorporated into this. Cool. Which is just not who I am as a person.
It's not. Well, for me, I don't think that my thinking this was my worst book is at the same level of you thinking that yours was the worst book.
Well, it's kind of a weird thing, right? Because this was my favorite of the issues.
But it was also...
But that kind of made it more frustrating.
So for me, it is Rockefeller's 11. But for a different reason, because it just... I feel like the story up to this point, I feel like it's been a little start and stop. Similar to Hornsby and Halo, but I feel like now it's like hopefully found its footing and is becoming something else, something better. But that's just this multiple times does a switcheroo and it feels like rushed and like things happen because it needs things to happen, not because the thing should happen, if that makes any sense. Like they're on the run from the bad guy that's been chasing them, who I know who it is, you don't know who it is, so I'm not telling. But then like multiple times through it, it's like they're having the moment of like connection, like this, the bad guy gonna like stand down, and it's like it seems like things are going great, and then boom, big hit, surprise, take him out. And then again, kind of moving on, things are going the way that they're going, boom, grandpa tackles the guy, and it's like this didn't feel like it needed to happen
again,
like it's two times in the same issue. The first time, the brother's like, I'm out of here because you don't care about us, you're not keeping us safe, you're just gonna do your own stuff, and you say you love us but you don't really care, and he goes off. Three panels later is when he comes and punches the guy, and it's like if he'd have left like last issue, sure, that would feel like something. Not when it's like, oh, literally, let me count the pages. Yeah, three pages from him leaving to him flying back to save the day. Or it's just like,
and he doesn't even save the day because then
he doesn't, because then it just keeps going. And again, the art is great. I feel like overall, the story is very interesting. It's just like so weirdly paced. And I feel like this came out the same time as Hornsby and Halo. And Hornsby and Halo just released issue 13. This just released issue 11. And issue 12 isn't going to come out till February.
That's Frantz Manipul.
It is, but it's like very frustrating. It was very funny, though, because the cover for the next one is a Christmas issue. But it's very funny because I read this at the top. And it says, when you can time travel, you're never too late for Christmas. On sale in February. Which, you gotta admit, in terms of marketing, it's just it's the way to go. Though I don't see how it'll be Christmas related based on how this issue ended. I have no idea. But it's just, it's still good. I'm still picking it up. I'm enjoying it. It's just frustrating.
It is a frustrating issue.
Cool things happen. The brother in the big mech suit was really, really cool that he built, but
I got to like issue 6 before I missed 2 issues and then just decided I'd move on. And I felt that too, of the start and stop. I just don't know that Peter J. Tomasi knows how to write slice of life. And I love Tomasi. I love Super Sons. I love his run on Green Lantern Corps, but
yeah, it's just not. It's not.
All right. Well, that was our worst books. Now we're going to open some cards and then go to
the
break.
The beast segment.
We're not having a break this time?
Well, do we ever really have a break? This is our break. We're breaking open the packs.
This has been sponsored by Square Enix, the sponsor of today's episode. Legally, I have to say that I'm joking.
They could if they wanted. We would take their money.
think I hit the corner of mine this time. Okay. I got Ace again. No clue who you are.
Somebody. I have like two of her.
Machinist, Ninja, Call, Monk, Red Mage. And then my holographic is that Riddar guy from BE, which is fun. Ooh, Jack Garland from Strangers in Paradise. But that's Emperor Garland, right?
I don't know. He's the main character, though.
Oh, did they do a whole, like, another... The same one, but not hollow?
Love that card.
This dancer from 15.
Yep, there
or he 11, is. I mean.
There he is dancing.
Is that a he?
I have no idea. Could be she.
And then 8 from Type 0. Don't know anything about Type 0.
Never played Type 0.
All right, let's do yours.
I'm going to gently open this one.
Mine wasn't the coolest pack.
This one's going to be.
Yep. I mean, I've had some cool packs. I'm not sad.
I can feel it in my heart.
You opened it so good.
I opened it so slowly. Tonberry, another Dragoon, another Reaper, another Marsalga.
Oh,
just I make a Marsalga deck. Is there a limit to how many of a card you can have in yours?
Two.
Oh, well. Another General Leo, another Clara, another Thief, a Shiny Reaper.
Ooh.
Cindy. That mechanic girl. Prompto.
Wow. Your packs seem oddly themed.
They do. A lock.
Ooh.
A limit break lock. And 8.
You got the same.
Just like you.
8. You can make an 8 deck.
Final Fantasy 8, but then also 8.
Yes. I've got lots of good 8 cards. Yeah, okay. Now, if we ever have an ad, this is where it will be.
Great ad. Just an excellent top 10 ad we've ever had on this show.
You're a good ad reader.
Thank you.
All right. So now we're going to do our B segment. And we're just going to talk about next year. What do we want to read? What are we hoping out of comics? What has kind of been announced that we're excited about? All that.
Yeah, I haven't paid too much attention, honestly. Now that you've talked about it, probably being just miniseries. But I was really looking forward to all of those, like, Cyclops and Rogue, like those X-Men books, you know, that are coming.
Well, let me bring up the solicits for that. Let me make sure that those are what they are. The February solicits. I don't think the March solicits are. Come on. Where's the X stuff? Oh, I do have a book next week. I just remembered. I have one book. There's a Marvel number one next week. I want to start.
Sorcerer Supreme?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Scarlet Witch?
Yep.
You don't want to read the X-Men Age of Revelation finale number one?
I don't.
Such a shame. But yeah, I am excited about those, even if they're just for a little while, those X-Men character-focused books.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those start in February, I want to say.
Yeah, that's why I'm on the February solicit, because I think you are right. But I think I must have skipped.
I think the thing that's tough with comics is, you know, we just constantly live in, like, 3 months ahead. Or, like, maybe something will be announced as coming, but for the most part, it's like, you know, we'll know about 3 months before it comes. So we know through, like, March of, like, the stuff to look forward to in terms of comics. But it's not like, oh, there's a video game that's releasing next fall that I've probably been excited about it for a couple of years at this point and can be looking forward to. So I feel like it's just a different rhythm. I'm curious to see what will happen, because I know the Ultimate Universe is, I don't know what's happening to it, but seeing what happens with Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
If anything. I would be really sad if it just, like, disappeared, which, who knows? Marvel doesn't care about me.
Maybe they do.
I don't think so. And I've got to come to terms with that, too. Ooh, I am excited for Superman Spider-Man.
Yeah, Superman Spider-Man. I think there is a lot to look forward to. I've been really down on DC lately. DC's just, especially with DC KO taking over a bunch of books. But I just don't feel like DC has got, like, Aquaman's been off in another world. And I don't really care about Aquaman world all that much. I mean, I enjoyed that comic. Don't get me wrong. But I want to see Aquaman in our world. Mm-hmm. I think the Superman stuff has been great. I think the Matt Fraction Batman has been great. Don't get me wrong. When I say DC's been kind of letting me down, you got to understand that those two, they are Superman and Batman. They are the exception to this rule. But I feel like the ongoing energy has all been in the absolute universe. So this coming DC next level kind of relaunch. I mean, it's not like a
DC KO
sort
of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. We've got a Demon ongoing announced. We got a Firestorm ongoing announced. A Zatanna ongoing announced. We've got a Lobo ongoing announced. I have to kind of zoom in on this picture. I know there's been a Legion ongoing announced. A Legion of Superheroes. And it looks like they, too, are just taking things kind of back to some basics for a while. And I know it won't last, right?
Uh-huh.
This isn't the end of
something will come along and sweep it all aside.
But at least for a while, we should have some pretty solid, self-contained... Like, one thing I'm really enjoying about Marvel right now is they keep relaunching... I like that they're, like, relaunching things like the Mortal Thor, but keeping the legacy numbering in it as well. It's like legacy issue number blank blank blank.
Uh-huh.
But it let me know, like, you can get involved in it. And the Mortal Thor, Black Cat, Planet She-Hulk, none of them have anything to do with One World Under Doom. One World Under Doom is going on. It's a line-wide event.
I feel like even Fantastic Four, like the first couple of issues did, because they like were fighting against Doom, but then after that it's had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is very funny because, you know, he's their guy.
He's their guy. But yeah, that's all. It's giving me superhero stories without the big event. Whereas, like, Superman was taken over by DC KO. Aquaman was taken over by DC KO. Justice League was taken over by DC KO. Like, Titans taken over by DC KO. Like, I was considering getting into Titans. I was, like, going to look for a jump on issue.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really excited to go back to that. Like, to go back to not having this event ruining everything. Mm-hmm.
Ruiner.
Yeah. I events got me out of comics the first time. I don't care about them. Like, I don't know why. I feel like there's a version of me that would have been super excited for a book about Batman fighting the Batman versions of his four Robins. Or three Robins.
Four. I think there was a Damian too.
Is there? Okay. I feel like there's a version of me that would have been excited about that. I am not that version. I do not care.
What you're saying is the version you're not the version of Chance that you would fight if you're placed in an alternate dimension where you had to fight different versions of yourself through your proteges.
Sure.
One of them would enjoy it, but you're not that one. But you would beat him up. If you had to fight.
He would probably beat me up, because he cares a lot more. I don't know. I just don't know. Who is that for?
I don't know.
Like, what does that do for us, except be like, oh, this is what Dick Grayson would be like as Batman. I don't want Dick Grayson to be Batman. I want Dick Grayson to be Nightwing.
I mean, I feel like there's a whole subsection of comic fans that are all about, like, power scaling. Who would fight? Who would win in this fight with preparation or unprepared? You know? Like, I feel like we talked about on, like, our second ever episode of this show.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, we've established that that's not what we're about.
That's not.
I am enjoying DCKO for what it's worth.
Yeah.
But I didn't read any of the 8 issues that they released this month of the individual fights.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, one, that's like $40.
Yeah.
And two, I really don't care because I'm just going to pick up the next issue and I'm going to know who won. And I don't really care about any of them.
And... for the record, I heard a lot of people talk about the Wonder Woman and Lobo fight and how dumb it was.
Yeah, there's also that where it's just like, I don't need a whole issue that's just a fight between these two random characters. Like, that does nothing for me.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some real sickos out there that are just like, yes, show me Zatanna fighting Harley Quinn.
I don't know. No one talked about that.
Harley Quinn with speed powers and Zatanna with something.
Oh, she has super speed?
Uh-huh.
That's kind of scary.
It is.
I don't know why.
The big hammer?
Yeah.
I mean, force equals mass times acceleration. That's a lot of mass.
Yeah, but with infinite acceleration, does the mass matter?
It's tough to say.
Anyway.
it would not matter a lot faster.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Speedsters should use
hammers.
Biggins. I always wanted to make like a speedster infiltrator who had like daggers who like. Whoosh.
That was me. Yeah, my throat being cut. That was falling off.
It was a very.
No one could see it.
That was a very visual.
You could probably barely hear it.
Explanation, but. but yeah, I think a bunch of number ones are exciting. I think like number ones tell you to start here. And Marvel's got Sorcerer Supreme coming out this Wednesday, just a couple days. They've got Iron Man starting in January.
Yeah, I have that one on my list.
Yeah,
I enjoyed Captain America so much, and I'm still enjoying it. Like that first arc is over, but it's continuing.
Yeah,
so I'm excited. I think it's jumping to modern day because it was kind of like a. You know, mid-2000s.
Yep.
And now it's now.
Right after that, they're doing Angorious X-Force. I think that starts in February or March.
I've always liked the X-Force.
Yeah, me too. And I love this team. Have you seen it? It's Archangel, the apocalyzed version of Angel, Cable, Boom Boom, and Helverine.
Helverine?
Oh, this one. It starts in January. Great.
Yep, there they are.
So I will read the crap out of that.
I really enjoyed post Schism when he had Wolverine and X-Men, and then just X-Men with Cyclops leading the team. But then there was the X-Force that was like Archangel, Psylocke, Wolverine, and is it Phantom X?
Yeah, the kind of like agent guy, Agent X maybe.
I can't remember, but it I really enjoyed that. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed the X-Force.
You did. That was like...
That ended like right as I started it.
Uh-huh.
And read all of it.
It's the way it goes. So I think there's a lot to look forward to. We'll probably have some disappointments.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just with anything in life, right?
But we have a place to start. And I really hope Marvel keeps up this whole like the Mortal Thor. Like... They're eventually going to rename it the Immortal Thor again, or the whatever Thor.
Uh-huh.
They're
somewhat mortal Thor.
They're eventually going to go back to the regular Thor, but like I knew I could start here, and I can. Do I know everything? No, but the book is doing a really good job of making sure I stay informed, regardless. So I just think that's a really good system. I've been really enjoying Marvel doing it. Like I said, Planet She-Hulk was almost my best book this week. Like, and I only picked that up because they, like...
There was a number one. I would love for Nightwing to have a number one.
Yeah, I would love...
It's like a 127 or something, and I'm just like, I don't know.
This is kind of a spoiler for my one more thing, but I've been playing a lot of the Spider-Man video game, and it makes me want a Nightwing video game so bad. Because it could be so similar. Like, you'd have to tweak a few things here and there, and, like, do more roof running and, like, grapple jumping... But I just want... Give me this, but Nightwing. Not Batman. We've got the Batman Arkham games. They're great.
It's its own thing.
Give me the acrobat of Nightwing. Not in the bulky suit of the Arkham. Like, and it's just... It's really made me want to try to find a Nightwing jumping on point. But I've been looking and looking and looking. And I'm like, it's like 20 issues ago.
So even that is just insurmountable. Mm-hmm. It feels...
So, but there's a new Teen Titans coming out with the DC Next Level. There was a really exciting announcement with the Teen Titans. I think it was a creator who is coming to do it, but I just
wonder if my boys would like Teen Titans. They really enjoyed the show, and then they watched Teen Titans Go, and they really liked that too, which is fine because they're children.
Mm-hmm.
I find it a bit insufferable.
Yeah, I can't do Teen Titans Go. I've never seen the Teen Titans. I'm watching someone on the internet watch it right now. They react to two episodes every week.
The internet is a wild place.
Well,
I'm watching someone watch this.
He started out by watching all of X-Men Evolution.
That's a good... I like X-Men Evolution. I like it better than 96.
Yeah, I think I do too. He finished it and he's watching... Now he's doing Wolverine and the X-Men and Nikhil Clayton, everybody. If you want a great comic YouTuber...
Come on the show.
I would. Oh yeah. And he's not so big that he'd be ungettable. But
come open Final Fantasy cards with us.
Yes, I'll buy a box for you. Man, so I'm looking. I think there's a lot of stuff to look forward to. I'm not looking forward to, like, I don't know why Godzilla's in everything.
Right, Godzilla's now in everything. Everybody's fighting Godzilla.
Everyone is fighting Godzilla at some level right now, and I don't understand why.
Could Godzilla be a metaphor for, like, the crushing realization of our slow death under the weight of capitalism?
Probably. That seems right. Yeah. Speaking of comics making a political point, I have learned that Spider-Man Noir is a miniseries, and I need everyone, like everyone listening to the sound of my voice, to go buy as many issues of it as you can, so they have no choice but to make it an ongoing.
And write your senator.
Write your senator.
That's how it's a political issue. I guess he's fighting Nazis also.
Yeah, they're
there's literal, yes, of course. It took me a second to get there.
And they're going out of their way to use the same rhetoric that the current administration is using.
I think the current administration is going out of their own way to use the same rhetoric as the Nazis were using.
Well, yes, that's also true. You are.
It's
you
not
are,
a. It's not hard. They're, yeah. It's not a stretch.
But this Spider-Man Noir book, I need it to continue. Because I'm loving it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm gonna open one.
Yep, let's open one.
And then we'll do one more thing.
What?
My one more thing is the Final Fantasy trading card game.
Let me tell you all the cards I got. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Tonberry. Dragoon.
I did just get a Tonberry. An Asha. Oh, my son's name is Asha.
I wonder if you'll get a Marsalga.
A Krill. A Gladiator. Ooh, this is new. From Final Fantasy XIV, but it's a cool card. It's a different...
Is it a holographic?
Yeah, but it's a different texture, I feel like, than the other holographics.
Uh-huh.
It's an all-arounder. Don't know what that means. Ooh, I haven't seen this card either. Gleaner.
Oh, my.
Man, I'm just getting all the 14 cards.
That's an 11.
Yeah. I would tell you what these are, but I don't know, Pete, folks. I'm sorry. I have no commentary for you. Oh, a cool Titus.
I think that's... Is that the Titus I got?
It's a cool one. And another Fron. Now I've got two Fron.
Fron. Oh, yeah, it's the same Titus.
Apparently Sky Pirate with Balthier, Fron, Vaughn, Pinello, all of them, is a pretty legit deck.
That's good to know. I need to look at all the cards that I have. Maybe I'll put something together.
Ooh.
We can duel against each other. Another Summoner. Seems like I need to make a Summoner deck. I finally got a Kane.
Your own Kane.
Dancer. Chemist. Fujin. Leko Haboka.
Yep.
Duh. Garnet again. Thancred.
Is that your holo?
My what?
Is that your holo?
That's my holo. Vaughn. A legendary Vaughn.
Oh, yeah. That's a different Vaughn than the one I got. And you got one,
he's
too.
Cool. Schultz. Sid Alstein from Type Zero. He looks bad.
Sid can't be bad.
Bakul Jaja.
What's that?
It's freaking Bakul Jaja. I don't know. He's from 14. I have no idea.
Oh, it's got two heads. That's funny.
It's Bakul Jaja. Maybe Yaya.
Bakul Yaya.
It's a Bakul Yaya. But he really emphasis on cool. Anyway.
The last set probably had more cards we would have been
excited about. What do you mean Sid can't be evil? Have you not played 12? Have you not played...
Is Sid evil in 12?
There's multiple Sids in 12, and one of them's pretty bad. It's Adolphus, I believe.
Who's the other evil Sid?
I mean, in 6, I guess he kind of has a change up.
Yeah.
I feel like there's another evil Sid. Sometimes they're just evil. 7 doesn't seem like a nice man.
But he's still one of the heroes.
I suppose.
He's gruff.
Hey, gruff, rough around the edges.
Okay. One more thing, Cameron.
Oh, let's yes, do one first. More thing. My one more thing. I forgot that that's what we were doing, that we were still on the air. My one more thing is a movie, which I rarely watch movies. I texted Chance this the other day and said, this movie was great.
I've seen it too.
He's seen it too, so we'll have some to talk about. But I watched the new Knives Out movie, Wake Up Dead Man,
mm-hmm.
A Knives Out Mystery. And I thought it was really good.
Yeah. I thought it was great too.
If you've not watched any of the Knives Out movies, I feel like they are... I mean, they're directed by Rian Johnson. And I feel like they just very much have his fingerprints all over them. They're very stylish. I feel like they're in a lot of ways like a... Deconstruction's not quite the right word. A subversion of the genre, typically. Like in the first Knives Out movie, you know from the beginning what happened with the grandfather. like, you know what happened. And you're following the detective trying to solve the mystery and the woman who feels like it's her fault trying to deflect him from figuring out the mystery.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So it's just a little bit different. And I feel like the second one, it's like you see the story and then you cut back. And it's like, and here's what was actually happening alongside of it. Everything you thought had happened, here's what was actually happening. And this one, not quite as much of that. I feel like this one has, it feels a little bit more serious than the others. It's still funny at times. Like, I laughed out loud. But I feel like it has a lot to do with, like, religious guilt.
Yeah.
And power.
Religious manipulation.
Yeah. And I felt like the cast was just stellar. I feel like they just played their roles very, very well. Like, Glenn Close is in it.
I thought Mark Ruffalo was in it the entire movie, and then my wife told me that was not Mark Ruffalo.
It was not Mark Ruffalo. It was Jeremy Renner, though.
Yeah, it was Jeremy Renner.
Uh-huh, which is probably why you're like, he does have a Ruffalo look. I feel like the whole time I was like, who is that? And then at the end I was like, was that Mark Ruffalo? And then...
So you thought of Mark Ruffalo, too.
At the end.
I thought it was Mark Ruffalo the whole movie.
And what's his name? He was the Monsignor. Thanos.
Yeah,
Thanos. It was Thanos. I'm just blanking on his name.
I don't know.
In real life. But I thought he was just an excellent, terrible person. A lot of terrible people. Knives Out movies are filled with terrible people that you love to hate. And you love to see get their comeuppance.
But are like enigmatic of real stereotypes.
Yeah. It's not like, here's just this, you know people like this. Or know of people like this.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just very well done. Overall, it's a mystery. I think that, what's his name? Daniel Craig just does an excellent job, really, in all three movies.
I didn't like his haircut in this one.
No, it wasn't a good haircut. He looks better with short hair.
Yeah, it was not my favorite haircut of his. Were you waiting for a Beatles reference that never came?
Why, because the second one was Glass Onion?
What does that have to do with the Beatles?
That's a Beatles song.
Oh, is it?
Uh-huh.
No.
Why was I waiting for a Beatles reference?
Because the whole thing, like, in the conspiracy that Paul McCartney is dead.
Oh, uh-huh.
Wait. If you play I Am the Walrus backwards, it says Wake Up Dead Man.
I thought that was Revolution Number 9.
You're right. Paul is the Walrus in I Am the Walrus. And if you play Revolution Number 9 backwards, it says I Am Dead.
Wake Up Dead Man.
Yeah. So I was waiting for a Beatles reference, like, the whole time. Or, like, if you played the movie in reverse, you would get something out of it or something.
If you start it while listening to Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon at the same moment, everything just... You gotta know this, Chance. That's your first go-to. If I ever become a famous filmmaker someday, I'm gonna make a movie that lines up perfectly with Dark Side of the Moon.
Are you gonna become a famous filmmaker someday?
No. But if I did, I would do that. And then not tell anyone and just see what happened.
I felt like this movie was making the most social commentary of all of them.
Of the three?
Yeah. Because it was all, like you said, it's all about religious guilt, but it's also like, it was also kind of a memorandum on Trump a little bit, and how, like, this guy that everyone follows is really a terrible person, and it's, like, not even, like, hidden
that he's
a terrible person, but people are still following him because he's powerful.
Uh-huh. And he, like, has a hold on them,
yeah,
in a way.
So,
like, ultimately, where it comes time where he's like, I'm burning all these bridges, it's like he can just systematically take everybody.
Yeah.
But also, I also felt like just parts of it were, like, very touching and, like, beautiful. Like, halfway through the movie, the main, there's, like, the bad priest and the good priest, and, like, the good priest is trying to solve the murder, and he gets, like, super swept up in it, and he's like the game of it all, as, like, Benoit Blanc talks about. And he's, like, very caught up in it. He's calling this woman to try to get some information. And then she's like, oh, you're a priest? Well, could you pray for me? Like, here's, like, my whole life. And he just, like, stops. Everything that he's doing is, like, hearing this woman. And she's, like, in this really hard place and is talking to him. And it was very touching. Of just, like, this, like, softer side. Like, this is what it should actually be about. Of, like, connecting with people who are hurting, who are going through hard times, and offering, like, comfort and connection. That I found very...
Agreed. Yeah, it was really good. I did think who the killer was obvious from the very beginning. But that kind of, like, goes along with it. We were trying to see who got there.
Which is also how it just goes. It's like, in the second one, you know, the Ed Norton character is just a real piece of shit, and you're gonna see how he gets his comeuppance more than anything.
Yeah. So, I enjoyed it all.
Yes. So what was your one more thing?
My one more thing, I have now, as of this recording, finished Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, and Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
And 2?
I've beaten all three. What a terrific trilogy of games. I'm actually a little let down that it seems that production on the third one has slowed so much, because they're doing so many, the studio's doing so many different things.
Aren't they doing like Wolverine too?
Yeah. Because this, I mean, Miles Morales came out like a year or two after the first one.
I feel like it launched with the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe it was, yeah, so 2018, like 2020, and then 2023, right? Because it was the same year as...
23, yeah, I think it was 23.
Yeah, it was the same year Baldur's Gate won Game of the Year. So, yeah, and Astrobot was 25 or so.
Yeah.
So, like, 2 years, 3 years... It's just kind of sad that, like, we're going on a third year and we don't even have an announcement for a third game. Because they definitely leave themselves open for a third game at the end of the second one. They seed some really interesting stuff. I just think, like, as someone who does not play open world action games that often, but who, because of these, is now playing Ghost of Tsushima.
I've heard good things. I played a little bit.
I just want to be a samurai.
And it was, like, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. Although, because of all the textures and stuff, I did have to turn on high contrast mode for my eyes. Because it's like, there's a lot of like, follow this fox, follow this bird, follow this wind. And like, with all the stuff on the screen, I just could never find it.
And you're playing on the Steam Deck, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, small.
Yeah. I mean, but it is right up next to my face.
Yes, that's true. The screen, any screen's big if you're close enough.
Yeah. But yeah, so I had to turn on high texture mode because it is beautiful. But there's so much happening on screen at any given time that I just could not. But high contrast mode looks great. Actually, I think it looks pretty fantastic on it. But yeah, so I think these games are great. I was not prepared for the level of like tragic, touching stories that all three of them had. The end of the first one, I like legitimately was like, well, that's one of the bittersweetest endings I've ever had in my entire life. I know you haven't gotten to the end, so I will be vague.
I played Miles Morales, and that was it.
But Miles ends very, like, bittersweet as well. I will say that with the frequency at which New York seems to be taken over by strange entities, no one would live there.
Yeah.
Because both games, all three games, end with, like, very huge, like, New York is being destroyed.
I feel like that's just like the Marvel universe, though, right? You're just like, I don't want to live around anyone. There's alien invasions. There's just like giant monsters. There's all kinds of bad stuff happening all the time.
It's true. It's true. It is very funny that they make a point that the Sanctum Sanctorum and the Avengers Tower are in the game. But, like, legitimately in the second one, at the end of the second one, like, New York is burning down around you. It's like, they're just not there. They're good.
Where's the Avengers? Doctor Strange, come in?
Like, legitimately, there's a mission in the second one where you go to the Sanctum Sanctorum, but you don't see Strange or anything. You just go there and...
Because who has the lights in that?
And it's just like, there's a point that there's magic in this world. And that, like, it's in New York. Why isn't he helping?
He's busy.
He's busy. But, that being said, I was not level for the level of touching story. This is an incredible Miles Morales. All three Miles is the kid who just lost his dad in the first one. The new hero in the second one, and the established hero who's still kind of second fiddle to the original Spider-Man in the third one. Bravo. It's great. I wish the suits in the second one were better. There's a lot of just like, and this is the movie suit, especially for regular Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
It's like, here's Tobey Maguire's suit. Here's Tom Holland's first suit. Here's his second suit. Here's Andrew Garfield's suit. Here's the second Andrew Garfield suit. Here's Peter B. Parker's suit. Here's, it's like, all these are the same.
Listen, there's just Spider-Man.
Like,
there's slight variations on the same thing.
There are slight variations on the same thing. At least Miles is like,
here's his Spider-Verse suit. Here's him if he was the Prowler.
Yep.
I feel like I like his suits in the Miles Morales game.
Well, I feel like the Peter suits in the first one were much more unique too.
Is Bagman in there?
Yeah, not in the second one.
First one,
they do an upgraded bombastic Bagman in the second one. Like, what if that was a full suit? Kind of a deal, which is kind of fun. But yeah, so many of the suits are just like, here's the Iron Spider suit. Here's the Iron Spider suit with part of the regular suit called the hybrid suit.
Uh-huh.
It's like,
see, the problem is for my life is my PlayStation has been taken over by my wife playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
So the time when I'm like, I should have beaten Dragon Age Veilguard a month ago, but I just never get to play it. And I'm like, I've got Yakuza Like a Dragon queued up for when I'm done with Veilguard. I'll probably never get there. I'm never going to get to play it. I have Spider-Man. Don't know when I'm going to get to play it. If it's on Switch, I'm all over it. That's where my life is now.
Steam Deck. You should get one.
I could do that, but it's just like, that's a lot. It's just, I already have a PlayStation.
That's true.
I have a Switch too. I'm like deeply invested.
I honestly enjoyed these three games so much that I would consider getting a new system for a Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Like, legitimately. I think the quality of these are so good. I think there's a lot of stupid things. Like, no one wants to go find those backpacks all over New York. I ended up doing it. But, like, and legitimately, the second one does a better job of varying the things you find all over New York. But you're still just finding things all over New York. And it's like, okay, fine, whatever. I ended up doing everything on all three, but not 100%ing them because I didn't go back and try to get platinum on all the challenges.
Mm-hmm. I think on Miles Morales, there were a few of the like stealth things that I didn't complete one without being seen, just because there was like so much, and I'm like, I don't love stealth gameplay in general.
I loved the stealth in those games.
Yeah, I just in general in the game, I just don't like being stealthy unless I'm a stealthy archer in Elder Scrolls game.
Which is why they need to make a Hawkeye or Green Arrow game.
Come on, give the people what they want. The people being us and our friend Luke.
Yeah, he would love that. I actually found that the trick to the stealth segments in that Spider-Man game, honest to goodness, is learn where everyone is. So take a time just to fail and learn where everyone is. And then instead of like perching above, waiting for the perfect moment and hitting them, you cause a distraction and then you hit the quick takedown, zip away. And you can do the stealth challenges like
super fast. Good to know.
I'll never
get to play them. We've established.
You have to plan your route a little bit. But Once you've planned your route. But yeah, I really enjoy them. I think they are actually a great look into what I'm enjoying so much about character-focused ongoings. They have great casts built out. We really get to focus on the relationship with the villain to the hero. We have a great side characters. The tension in all three games like escalates. Like, you start in one place and you go to a certain point, but it feels very natural. And I really love, like, at first I was like, a world in which Spider-Man is Spider-Man, but Norman Osborn has never been Green Goblin? It's kind of weird, because normally Green Goblin's like one of his first villains.
Uh-huh.
Kills Gwen Stacy, all that. But as I was going through, I love this Norman. I understand what motivates him. I understand what drives him. I understand who he is as a person. I understand why everyone hates him so much. I understand why I can't completely hate him so much. Like, it's just a really, like, if they made a comic in this world, I would read it. Or if they, like, dropped Batman in a world like this, I would read it. like, yes, slightly different takes on all your classic characters. Some of your, like, fodder bosses, you rely on your knowledge of them from other media. But, like, the second one's all about Kraven, pretty much. Uh-huh. Kraven and then Venom.
Good old Venom.
And I won't spoil, like, who Venom is or any of that stuff, but it's just really the way they incorporate anti-Venom and the way Miles fits into it all and the way Mr. Negative fits into it all is, like, really, it feels, as someone who came from the first game into the second one and played Miles Morales, it felt very satisfying. Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a through line.
Yeah, there were threads that were, like, laid out that were, like, woven together.
Nice.
And I really think that they set up perfectly for a third one. The reason I don't know if there will be a third one, to be perfectly honest, is because what they set up at the end of the second one is very Miles-centric, and I think Peter wouldn't be a playable character. And I just, because Miles was kind of like a side game to the original, I just don't know if they would be comfortable enough
to get Peter out of the way.
To do a full game without Peter. But this is maybe a little bit of a spoiler, so if you want no spoiler at all, but at the very end, they introduce another Spider-Verse character that's been pretty prominent recently. And I think, like, oh, now Miles being the mentor to this new Spider-Verse character would be just, I think it would make a great, I think it would make a great game.
We'll see if it ever happens.
So, yeah, and I know if they make a third one, it'll be Peter-centric, like, he's coming out of retirement.
Maybe they'll do another, like, you know, it's a DLC that got too big and kind of became its own little side game.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like those. I like that kind of concept.
Honestly, Miles is the tightest story. Miles does not hit the highs that one or two hit, but, like, consistent quality, I think Miles is, like, It's the absolute Batman that we just talked, like, about earlier.
Steady.
It was steady. It was good, like, beginning to end. I think it's hard for me to relate them because, two, you get to play as both Miles and Peter, which I love. Like, I got tired of Peter's Venom powers. I got to switch back to Miles, and, like, vice versa. There were certain challenges, like, side quests that I liked doing as Miles, side quests I liked doing as Peter. So, like, that being able to switch was that. And between that and the fact that it didn't run that great on my Steam Deck and like, would crash or cutscenes would lag, it's hard for me to compare the two. I don't know which one I liked better. But both of them have, like, seriously high.
Nice.
So, anyway, yeah. The Spider-Man Insomniac, it's Insomniac, right?
I believe it's Insomniac, yes.
That trilogy is my one more thing, and just my review. I give all three games 9s out of 10.
9s out of 10. You heard it here first. No one else has heard of these games.
Baldur's Gate still deserved to beat it.
Baldur's great.
Yes. I do think that as a single story, Spider-Man 2 is probably a better story than, but as far as, like,
Sweeping ambition, sweeping and what they're able to accomplish.
Everything shoved in, and, like, your choices actually do mattering and all that.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, Baldur's Gate.
I should replay that, but I never will be able to. Because,
you can't.
The aforementioned issue. If they released a Switch version, it's game over.
I don't know how they would.
I don't know either. But, I mean, Divinity's on there and it runs.
Yeah. Well, maybe Switch 2.
Yeah. I'm pointing at my phone like my Switch 2 is right there. It's not my phone.
My Switch 2. All right, shall we?
Last pack.
That was such a good open I just did. All right. Pictomancer, Raijin, Fire Elemental,
Marsalga,
Samurai, Bard, Thief, a Shiny Jesper. We've had that one. Ooh, a Cat Girl from 14. Wook Lamal.
Yeah, who knows?
She's a princess. Riona.
Renoa. He did it again.
Thancred. And Chaos Advent. Not a very exciting last pack.
Because they're all in here.
Because they're all in there.
It's a god pack. I don't know if such a thing exists. Viper.
Mm.
Bard. Galoof again.
Oh, yeah.
I like that card. Gesper again. Uriangr. I don't know. Final Fantasy 14, man. What you going to do? Marlboro. that one, the cat, Whisker Cat. Another Zell. This one is shiny.
That's a cool Zell.
Look at
that. Yeah.
Cool effect. Wendigo.
You definitely won the pack battles.
A Wendigo. Arden. He's from 15, right?
Yep.
Is he the bad guy?
Unknown.
Unknown.
He's the president of the enemy nation.
Ignis. And seven.
Seven from type zero?
Seven from type zero.
Okay.
Because they're all numbers or cards or something.
I don't know what type zero is.
I remember seeing it. You're like at a school. That's all I know.
You're a school tournament arc. Well, we've done Final Fantasy. We've done comics.
We've done it all.
We've done it all.
You can reach out to us. Do you like the Final Fantasy trading card game?
Have you ever heard of it? Because I hadn't before.
Either way, you can reach out to us at hotcomicpools@gmail.com or over at comicspalooza.bsky.social. I've had it deleted off my phone for a few weeks just because I felt like I was just looking at it a lot. And I just didn't want to. And so I just deleted it, but I'll be back. And also, if you messaged us there, I'll respond. Other than that, I think we've done it all.
We've done it all. So
thanks for listening. And you can find us again. Actually, not next week because I have no books count. But in 2 weeks, you can find us at the same turtle time and the same bat channel.